Welcome back to this week's episode of the Wellhouse Exorcism. This is your ghost of a host with the most, Shanna.
Sup?
Sup?
It's Puckwa PJ.
Apparently, okay. You've been hanging too long at the Helix. Something happened. Oh, boy.
Spent over 12 hours there. I'm a different person now.
I noticed. Anyway, this episode is brought to you by Maggie's Casket, LLC. If you are looking for a spooky lady who can teach you to paint, then look no further than this company. Maggie's Casket offers a variety of painting and sipping endeavors. Currently, there are about 10 seats open for her Mother's Day Spooktacular special on May 11th at Craven and Castor Creations in Blakely, PA. So take me, and your mom, and paint and sip with her. It'll be a terracotta pot painting, so you can put a little flower in there, too. Lots of fun. Get your spooky on. And before we begin tonight's episode, I have two things I want to mention. Number one, I would like to thank all of our listeners who came to the Helix Tabletop Guild for their annual Janet Weiss Children's Hospital charity event. Mm-hmm. It is always so much fun to be a part of such an amazing event, and this year they rocked their goal. So thank you again for participating. I hope that the winners of our baskets made by the Wellhouse Exorcism and Games Overboard enjoy. And as always, thank you for being so giving for such a worthwhile cause. Number two.
Dos.
Wellhouse, if you didn't know, will now be producing two episodes a week. Wednesday nights, I'll be posting mini episodes. They'll be about 30 minutes long, tops, and they'll be about creepy things around the world. We're still working on a name
for it. We have one vote for local legends and lore.
And someone said they liked mini hexes via text.
Oh, dang it.
So
we're tied.
No one liked the mini monster or the monsters.
Midweek monsters, yeah.
No one liked the, sorry, PJ.
It's fine. I'm not hurt.
But I thought of one, Legends, Lore, and More, because I don't like local legends. It sounds like it's PA-centric, and that bothers me, because it's going to be all over the world.
Well, it's local to someone.
Anyway, we'll just call it midweek. It's a midweek check. I don't know. We'll call it the Hump Day Specials. Nope. Doesn't have a ring to it. All right, so we are here. Someone will find it. One in Rome. If you get that reference.
Wellhouse minisodes.
Minisodes?
Hey, you never heard of the term minisode?
I hate that so much.
That's a thing.
Not now. Not on this podcast. It's not. Mini hexes. All right, anyway. So we are here tonight because I would like to take us back to, and I'm calling this episode, Lake Erie. Literally, it's Lake Erie.
I'm going to count and make sure that the title of the episode matches what you just said.
You can go ahead and do that, because I don't count for...
I'm going to call you out on it.
Okay.
Next week, it's happening.
Good. Do it. Considering I went I was bouncing. Good luck counting.
Those bounces all count as one. No, not one. I mean one each. One each.
It still counts as one. All right. So we're talking about Lake Erie tonight, and we're going to kind of cruise around the entirety of the lake. So it's going to be Ohio. We're going to talk Michigan, Pennsylvania.
What kind of boat we taking?
A schooner.
Oh, okay.
A little bit of Canada. Or Canada.
How do you spell that one?
All right. My information is coming from the book Supernatural Lore of Pennsylvania, Ghosts, Monsters, and Miracles by Thomas White. A little bit from Ghost Hunting Pennsylvania by Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West by Edward McClelland, and then Wikipedia as well. And Great Lakes Guide. I had to toss in Wikipedia. I just felt like, why not?
And Wikipedia. You can come to
and Wikipedia. Come on. Well, Puckwa PJ, to be in this episode, I posit you a question. What do the minor league hockey team, the Cleveland Monsters, and the Great Lakes Brewing Company have in common?
A monster mascot.
No.
Dang it.
Want to try again?
A love for alcohol.
Probably, but unsubstantiated. A lake serpent.
Nice.
It's exciting, yes. The minor league hockey team, the Cleveland Monsters, the AHL affiliate, the NHL's Columbus Blue Jackets, are named after Bessie, not Nessie.
So a monster mascot.
And then the Great Lakes Brewing Company brews and distributes a seasonal South Bay Bessie-inspired IPA called Lake Erie Monster.
So that's not a mascot.
No.
I see.
Yeah, so we're talking about the South Bay Bessie, not Loch Ness Nessie. So I'd like to read an excerpt from Folk Tales and Legends of the Middle West by Edward McClelland to put us into the feel, the mood of tonight's podcast.
I'm ready.
Okay. The Lake Erie Monster began her life as a sturgeon hatched off Edgewater Beach. She was 10 feet long, longer than most of her species. One day, she was sucking worms out of the mud near the mouth of the Cuyahoga when she inhaled a mouthful of iron sulfite, which had floated downstream from a steel mill and settled in the riverbed. Right away, she felt a change in her body. Her snout and tail grew longer. Her fins lost their fan-like shape, becoming long, thin tentacles. Rather than a sturgeon's usual diet of insect larvae and worms, she developed a ravenous appetite for toxic waste. And in those days, the mouth of the Cuyahoga offered plenty. Ferrous sulfate and fleece dust, gasoline and oil, calcium sulfate and iron scale. The monster scarfed it all. She couldn't control herself, and the more she ate, the larger and more grotesque she grew. Schools of sturgeon in which she had once swum anonymously now scattered at the sight of her, fearing she was a predator. She tried eating worms again, hoping they would restore her to the shape of a sturgeon, but she could no longer digest them. Her metabolism had changed, and now she could only consume toxins. In her hideous new state, the creature developed a hatred of the humans who had polluted the lake and transformed her into a monster. She decided to take revenge on Cleveland and the entire state of Ohio.
I can't. How do they know this? Did they find her diary?
I know.
Thank Today you, I Edward. Ate something very strange. It got caught in my throat and now I feel all funny.
I was just hanging out in the Cuyahoga and then these bad guys tossed some toxic stuff at me and now look at me. Look at me.
Mom yelled at me for getting my tail cut, but I don't care.
Also, I
this is me now.
Anyway, so that sets the scene for one version of Bessie. Over the centuries, people have described Bessie in many ways. Some say she has a dog-like head and large fins. Some even say she has human-like arms. Her color has been reported as gray, copper, or silver. One thing that's fairly consistent across sightings is her long, snake-like body that measures anywhere from 5 to 18 meters long. She's a big girl.
Well, the human-like arms explains the diary.
Well, they didn't say she has hands.
Do they just end in stumps? She's got to have something in there.
Doesn't say she has fingers. It says she had tentacles earlier.
Yeah.
Anyway, cryptozoologists often believe that lake monsters are surviving relatives of the plesiosaur, a huge marine reptile with a long neck that supposedly went extinct with the dinosaurs. Could Bessie be the ancestor of this ancient species? No. I've decided.
What?
Sorry, PJ. Bessie has been the subject of superstitious sailors, drunk tourists, and newspaper hoaxes over the centuries. But the legend of the serpentine creature living in Lake Erie actually originated in First Nations culture.
So why is that not a dinosaur?
I'll explain.
Just because they don't believe in dinosaurs doesn't mean they didn't exist. Or didn't know about dinosaurs, I should say.
Maybe they did. We don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe they're digging up Tyrannosaurus Rex heads and hanging out with them. I don't know. We don't know because we annihilated cultures.
That's true.
Yeah. Anywho.
We didn't find any of those dinosaurs' diaries.
No, because they didn't have fingers. First Nations groups in the Lake Erie region, particularly, of course, the Iroquois, because we're talking Canada, would speak of Onyare, a water spirit that lives in the Great Lakes. The name Onyare is the Mohawk word for snake.
Okay.
So they talked about it. Onyare is a horned dragon-like snake that breathes both poison and fire. Onyare is said to capsize canoes and devour humans, though the creature will sometimes spare travelers who make great and enough offerings.
Hmm.
So I'm not sure if you're supposed to toss fish or corn or gold at it, but if you give the right offerings, it won't eat you. So could Bessie be this dragon-like snake? Is it a big fish mutated by industrialism? Is it a leftover dinosaur?
It's a dragon.
Well, according to Supernatural Lore of Pennsylvania, Ghosts, Monsters, and Miracles by Thomas White, at least 20 states currently are home to reported lake monsters. PA is one of those rare states that boasts not one, but two of these creatures. There is supposedly a cryptid inhabiting Racetown Lake, which is definitely a hoax. No question. It's a hoax. But the other is South Bay Bessie.
Okay.
All right. So we're going to ignore Racetown. Doesn't exist.
That's hurtful.
It's a hoax. Look it up. It's a hoax.
I mean, what about our listeners? Are they just supposed to look it up?
But they want to. They don't have. If you're driving, please don't. But I have done the research for you. Racetown Lake admitted it's a hoax. Anyway.
Oh, well done.
See, you get all testy. Shush. 12 hours and you're a changed man.
That's right. Wait.
You put your hood up?
I'm in the hood.
You were literally up in downtown Bloomsburg. You put the hood down.
I'm a different person now.
No, you're not. Unlike Scotland's Loch Ness, Lake Erie is far too young of a lake to sport a dinosaur. All right. We're talking math now. Our lake was only formed 12,000 years ago. Okay. So could it be a dinosaur, PJ? Could it be a dinosaur?
What else does your math say?
Okay, well, it was only formed 12,000 years ago, so right off the bat, could it be a dinosaur, PJ?
No.
Thank you. And it only has been a stabilized landmass for the last third of its existence. So the last, 4,000 years, it's been a decent lake.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It stretches 240 miles in length, so it's much larger than, you know, Nessie's home in Scotland. But it's only...
See?
But it's only 62 feet deep in its deepest depths.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's a pretty shallow lake. So, I hold that it is not a dinosaur for that reason alone.
Hmm.
Again, did some research. Now, whenever you read sources, they say that the first official sightings happened in the 1800s. But I found a story from 1793. So now I'm going to give you...
Almost the 1800s.
Okay, listen. 1793. Different century. Just saying. You want to get their math right. That's all I'm saying. Anyway. So I have a timeline now of spottings of Bessie.
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
In 1793, the captain of the Felicity was steering his sailboat through the shallows of Lake Erie's islands. He was duck hunting and admiring the rugged natural beauty of the area.
What constitutes the, like, how do you become a captain of a boat on a lake? It's like you and your son. You know?
It's a 240 mile lake and it spans multiple states. Like, you can be a captain because you go from state to country. It's one of the Great Lakes. I think it's the fourth out of fifth biggest or smallest one too, right? It's like 4 to 5.
Oh.
Lake Erie is one. I think it's one of the smallest ones.
Yeah, I think so.
Anywho, his loud shots from duck hunting rang out, echoing over the still water. But suddenly, the captain saw something that made his blood run cold. According to the captain, an enormous serpent had started thrashing around near his boat, having been startled by the gunshots. He reported that the creature was huge, easily over 5 meters long, though it disappeared before he could get a better look at it. This would be the first sighting of Bessie.
Wow.
It honestly could have just been a big old fish flopping around.
Yeah, when you see, like, a giant fish leap out of the water and, like, you know, back in.
Yeah, it's scary.
Yeah.
But it says that it was, like, not only was it flipping around, it was moving, like it was thrashing near his boat.
Mm-hmm.
So was the fish trying to eat a smaller fish and, like, they were fighting each other? I don't know.
Mm.
But it could have been Bessie. But that is like the original story that like most places don't mention. The most sources claim.
You hear it here first, people.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it's online. But anyway, the first official sighting recorded was in 1817. According to C.S. Rafinesque. Yes, very French.
Yeah, it is.
In his dissertation on water snakes, sneeze snakes.
On sneeze snakes.
On sneeze snakes. A lot of S sounds.
Excuse me, I sneeze snakes. It's you.
I'm keeping that.
Oh, jeez, I got a sneeze snake on me.
Sometimes people, my listeners, I keep my mistakes when I read in just because PJ. I love it. Anyway, in his dissertation on water snakes, sea snakes, and sea serpents, all the alliteration there, good lord. The first mention of the monster was on July 3rd of 1817. The crew of a schooner reported seeing a creature 35 to 40 feet long and about a foot around.
It was around what?
It was so dark, mahogany in color, that it almost appeared black. No details were offered by the witnesses with regard to the presence of scales, so it cannot be known if it was a fish or a snake. But 35 to 40 feet long and a foot around in diameter, like that's a big boy.
Yeah. That's pretty cool.
I want to catch it. Then, in 1854, so we're flashing forward like 40 years at this point. Yep. A fisherman on the eastern side of the lake reported a serpentine form moving about the water with great agility. Mm-hmm. He also estimated the creature to be nearly 40 feet in length. Then, 7 years after that, another party of fishermen in the same region of that lake, on Lake Erie, came so close to a 16-foot serpent that they were able to fully inspect it. They described the thing as greenish with an erect head and tail. So very different from the first two sightings that were 40 feet and dark brown, almost black.
Yeah.
This was only 16 feet, and it was greenish in color. And it had its head sticking up like Nessie.
Hmm.
And it had a tail.
And a tail.
So do we have two different monsters?
Well, I mean, I would assume so. They sound quite different.
Or could the big boy have a baby boy?
Yeah. Which would be two different monsters.
There's a whole family of monsters.
And you want to kill one.
No, I don't want to play with it. I'm going to pet it. Remember I told you, my tombstone is going to say two things. It's going to say her last words were, come here, kitty, kitty, kitty. Psst, psst, psst.
Yep.
Because I'm sure I'm going to die from petting a big cat like a tiger. Something with whiskers.
It'd be awesome until it isn't.
Yes. And then the second thing my thing is going to say, Poe was the first creator of rap. That'll be my epitaph. Homemade rap. Anyway, fight me.
Okay.
It's a weird hill to die on, but I'm going to do it.
On this case, literally with that epitaph.
All right. So now we have two different monsters. One 40 feet, one 16 feet, one brown, one green.
Uh-huh.
But then in 1887, another French name, the Dassault brothers, spotted a, and I'm putting this in air quotes, phosphorescent mass on the beach as they were returning from a day of fishing.
Okay.
They quickly headed over there to check it out, but they only found this monster, whatever it was, this big, brightly massed thing, in its death throes. So it's dying, like it's choking or something.
Mm-hmm.
They stated it was sturgeon-sized, but it also had arms that it threw wildly from side to side. And so a sturgeon, like, you know, like 4 feet, right?
Ish, yeah.
But it has arms that it's throwing. Doesn't mention hands or fingers, but it has arms. So they ran for help and for rope because they were going to catch it.
Of course.
I'm so proud. But when they returned, they only found the markings on the beach from where it had been fighting for its life or whatever. So they assumed that it had fallen back in the water and then it was carried away because Lake Erie has some pretty big waves.
Yeah.
So they figured it was kind of pulled out by the water. But before it disappeared, it left behind scales the size of silver dollars. So like, that's
a big scale.
That's a big scale. That's a big old fish.
Yeah.
So now we're talking if it has scales. Is it a serpent? Is it a snake? Is it a fish? But is it a sturgeon?
I mean, they all have scales.
In the 1880s, we're talking industrial revolution. We're talking dumping stuff into the water. There's Bessie.
I mean, getting all biblical here.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Serpents are different from snakes. Because
mm-hmm.
The thing in Eden was a serpent. It had legs.
Walking around, man.
Yeah. It wasn't until after God kicked out Adam and Eve that he took its legs away and said you're going to crawl around on the ground.
You get to be on your belly.
Yeah.
What you get. That's right.
That's why snakes have hip bones. Didn't know that, did you?
I did know that.
Well, they have knees. Hips. Yeah, they do have hips. And for all the science people out there, obviously, like, evolution is why snakes have hip bones, but that's still, you know, it's still an interesting thing to think about that snakes, you know, used to have legs. And whales, too. Whales used to have legs. It's hard to picture a whale with a leg. Pythons and boa constrictors have tiny hind leg bones deep in the muscles toward their tails. So they have little leg bones that stick out. But you can't feel, okay. You can't see them or feel them because they're literally encased in muscle.
Yeah. Well, then maybe I was just thinking of the Sidewinder, like, literally, like flattens out its body. They spread out their bodies, like, to almost, like, onto the ground, like, they like as they're a part of the ground, so they don't cause a sand dune as they're moving over. So they actually wind sideways.
Actually, they don't have vestigial legs. Those are mating spurs.
We've been thinking of those spurs, then. But in any case, listen, we know that there are ancestors. As it was 2016, they found snakes that, like, skeletons, fossils. It was 2014. They actually found snake fossils that had legs.
Yeah.
Proof that God got a little angry. He took away those legs.
Or just adaptation. Science.
So, like, here's the thing. I would say, yeah, like, sometimes I don't really push religion, but, like, who's writing down snakes once had legs, but now they don't? Like,
I know.
Who's writing
right?
that? No one could read or write, so I don't know. It doesn't matter. In any case,
yeah.
What is Bessie? Back to this. What is Bessie? So, in any case.
Again, whales. That still amazes me.
All right,
whales had legs.
That freaks me. Anyway, so going back to Bessie here, the most active years then for spotting her, him, they, because there might be two of them.
I mean, we're calling it Bessie, so yes. Just go with her.
But there's a green one. Anyway, we're in the years of the 1890s. So after the 1887 thing with the Dassault brothers and they see this sturgeon thingy flopping around on the land, people are seeing creatures all over the place. So two fishermen spotted a 25-foot-long creature in May of 1892. They estimated it to be 18 inches in diameter. So a little over that foot.
Okay.
But yeah. 25 feet long. And they said it propelled itself using flippers located about 5 feet behind its large flat head. Like little alarms.
That's it? Only in the front?
Well, I think that's all they could see, though, maybe.
Yeah.
It was black with brown mottled spots. That's all I could see. In that same year, Captain Patrick Woods was making his way from Buffalo to Toledo when he saw the water on the lake foaming violently. Upon closer inspection, he saw a huge sea serpent desperately fighting off something underwater attacking it. So now it's like, are there more? Are they all having a party? Because now they're fighting each other. In any case, Woods stated that he could clearly see the sparkling eyes in its huge head. He estimated the monster was about 50 feet in length and nearly 4 feet in diameter.
Yikes.
So that's the biggest boy. All right. He said it was brown in color and had a head that rose 4 feet out of the water. Very specific.
That's massive.
And he's a captain. Like, I couldn't see him making this up. Because from all accounts, he was freaked out by it. He's like, this thing, like, I didn't get any closer because it could have, like, toppled my boat. Like, this thing was scary. And it was fighting something below it in the water. So I was like, well, there's something bigger than this? he didn't mention any, like, little arms or little fins paddling. Yeah. But he mentioned its big old head.
So this reminds me a lot of when I was a child, I saw, I think it was an episode of Unsolved Mysteries. I can't be sure, though.
Okay.
But it was a black and white picture that someone had taken of a dumpster behind, like, you know, some seedy alley. But it looked like a Chinese dragon. It was, like, long, snake-like body.
Okay.
And it had two flippers in front and two flippers in back, just like a Chinese dragon would have its, you know, front and four legs and hind legs. But it was all just, like, skeleton. It had, like, the big head that a dragon would have on the top. So it looked like this guy from that I saw. But, like, picture that thing's skeleton, you know, and flippers instead of legs. And it was just, like, this skeleton draped across a dumpster. And, you know, they're like, we don't know what this creature is or where it came from, but we're going to get to the bottom of it. And, of course, you never heard of it again.
Well, it obviously came from Disney.
Yeah, right. But, like, I don't know, that image has been in my head since I've been, like, six, you know, and I've always tried to find it again on the internet. I've tried a couple times throughout the years and never found it again. But
hex on you and hex on your cow, to quote an earlier episode of ours.
It's E.M. Mishu. It looks like Mishu, but with flippers instead of legs. Mishu, right? Mushu?
Mushu.
Mushu. I don't know. I hate that movie.
So then in October of 1894, a sighting was reported that I personally actually believe. Okay. Mm-hmm. This person had no reason to lie. And fun fact, I read this to Carrie yesterday when we were at Helix, when I was going through all my books and looking for information. Uh-huh. We both were interested in this story. So his name is Alex Watt. Reverend.
Alex Watt?
Alex Watt. Yes.
Watt.
But Reverend, all right, Alex Watt.
Okay.
Of the Silver Creek Baptist Church of New York. He was enjoying a nice nightly sunset from the New York beach with his wife and a friend. So there's three of them together.
Okay.
And then they saw churning waters, and they heard a huge commotion in the water about half a mile from where they were. It was a serpent, and it was roaring through the lake at great speed, and it was turning the waves into foam. It was going so fast. Watt calculated that the portion of the beast rising and falling along the waterline was at least 18 feet in length. At least.
Hmm.
That's all he could see. He described fins along its back, but said only three or four were visible during each undulation. Its head was heavier and darker than its body,
mm-hmm.
and he was quoted by a newspaper reporter, and he said, quote, "I would not want to be in the water in a small boat if that creature decided to turn hostile."
Wow. Now,
yeah, when I read all this to Carrie, she and I both agreed that a reverend, especially one at the height of the Victorian era, would not easily lie, and he was there with his wife and a friend. So, like, really not going to lie because he's being quoted by a newspaper.
Yeah.
You know, like, so for me, that ends, like, a lot of credibility to the South Bay Bessie or whatever's going on or whatever they got living and growing there. Because, obviously, Bessie is not 200-plus years old. But, like, what do you think? Like, if a reverend is talking about this and he's quoted by a newspaper and he's there with two other witnesses, like, do you think he's lying and trying to get, like, people to come to his church?
There's always a possibility. I mean, people are people, and they're willing to lie, but there, you know, there's definitely someone of that kind of position that mm-hmm. makes them, you know, it makes them more trustworthy, because, A, like, why would they,
yeah.
you know? He's more apt to even lose members of the congregation,
that's true,
too.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
okay, our pastor's
yeah.
crazy, you know? He's seeing sea monsters.
Makes for a fun Sunday sermon. He was so
specific. I saw the devil and he is wet.
Get in your pews.
He is a serpent in the lake.
Fire. Oh, wait, no, water. But I don't know. I think it does lend some definitive credibility to South Bay Bessie.
Yeah.
Now, that being said, there have been hoaxes with this monster. And it has done nothing good in terms of proving the existence of Bessie.
And we as Catholics know that reverends aren't always trustworthy.
Yes. In the 1930s, for example, there was a hoax around Lake Erie about the invasion of pythons. Because they can totally live in our
They've massed an army and they're coming in.
And they do well in that good cold Canadian weather. But anyway. The hoax turned out to be all created by one dude named Clifford Wilson. Wilson was the man who initially, and I put this in air quotes, captured the python and brought it ashore to prove to everyone that pythons were invading. Turns okay. out he was actually a carnival promoter and was hoping to cash in on Lake Monster Phenomena.
Do, 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 do.
Thank you. The python he, you know, air quotes, caught was actually his own 18-foot Indian python.
18 foot?
Mm-hmm. Oh, pythons get huge.
Yikes.
I remember whenever I go to reptile land, I go, oh, we're going to die. Like, I get really sweaty because I hate snakes. But then just 3 years later, so we have that hoax, right?
Mm-hmm.
3 years later, a man named Ben Schwartz, the Schwartz be with us, and his five, that's all I can think when I was typing this, and his five friends, there's six of them, they're all sitting on the lake shore, then they saw something swimming towards them. Now, they actually thought it was a dog at first because it was, like, you know, coming at them, the head was sticking up. But then it changed directions. When it did, they realized they were looking at a huge snake, not a dog, and it had to be at least 20 feet long. Yeah, that's scary. Yikes. Now, some people at the time theorized that it could be an escaped African rock python, since they can get that length and they can eat things like deer as their prey when they get big. But again, could an escaped African rock python live in that climate?
Yeah, right.
I actually don't know, but I posit probably not. It's like when they release alligators here. They could live for the summer. And then... yeah,
once summer comes, or once winter comes around, then good luck.
It's a little chilly.
Yeah.
So maybe.
And we have other reptiles that live, but they burrow, you know? They.
Yeah, the pythons don't burrow.
Yeah.
Do they? I don't know. Like, I don't want to know.
The other snakes are like, come, come with us.
Come play with us.
We found this rabbit hole. So come.
I found a rabbit hole. Do you notice I even a... at the end because snakes hiss?
Yes, I got it.
I was so funny. I'm so proud of myself. All right. Sightings have continued in spurts here and there, and most notably in the 1990s. Now, at that point, you got to think that's the 90s for us. The Loch Ness Monster was being hyped up through worldwide media, so I hold that a lot of these sightings were probably just a response to Loch Ness,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to call the Loch Ness mess.
Yeah. I like it.
But one of the sightings in particular did receive press coverage, and it was from the Bricker family.
Okay.
They claimed they saw this thing, but it was at a length of at least 3 football fields away.
Yikes.
So I already, I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. They claimed they saw a black creature that was about 35 feet. It held its snake-like head above the water, and it traveled at the same speed as the family's boat. So it's going pretty fast.
All right.
Yep. While I would initially debunk this because of the sheer length away, and of course our timing of Loch Ness mess, several other witnesses came forward as having seen the exact same thing. Right? One person was actually a Huron firefighter.
Oh, that's cool.
You're right. Another witness was the owner of a lakeshore cottage who, like, lived there.
Okay.
So, I think it does lend some credibility.
Yeah.
Unless it was, like, a mass hysteria event. It was, like, a tree branch floating. Like, it's a snake! However, kill it with fire. However, from this, a newspaper editor established a toll-free number for reports of sightings. So they wanted a 24-hour phone call. Like, just, this phone is here for you to call for your sightings. And a marina owner offered a $5,000 reward to anyone who captured South Bay Bessie alive. He actually made like a thing to put it in too. Like, you're going to keep a 35 to 40 foot monster.
Well, it's like the Philadelphia Zoo and the Jersey Devil flyer.
Oh, boy. So the last documented Bessie sightings occurred in the early 90s.
Uh-huh.
But if you think you're safe in the 21st century, you got to think again. No, that's the voice you can only use on midweek. None of that voice until midweek.
I wasn't doing it.
You almost did. If you haven't listened to the episode, you'll understand the, oh no. According to the Great Lakes Guide, we all need to beware, and I'm not kidding, of the Lake Erie Chomper.
Guy, watch him chompers now.
Exactly. Other monsters in Lake Erie have been reported as recently as 2001, when a creature dubbed the Lake Erie Chomper first attacked.
You can't.
I know. First attacked near the Port Dover Pump House. In less than 24 hours, 2 unfortunate swimmers were left with vicious bite marks. One required severe medical attention.
Oh.
So this Lake Erie Chomper, he's got some chompers. In the summer of 2001, 47-year-old Brenda McCormick headed to the beach for a sunset dip. The waters were calm, the sky was golden, and everything seemed perfect. Brenda had only just slipped into Lake Erie's cool, refreshing waters when she felt what she could only call a chomp on her right calf. Obviously horrified and in pain, she made her way back to shore, only to discover something truly terrifying. Imprinted on her calf muscle was a 6-inch series of circular puncture wounds. It was undeniably jaw-shaped. Brenda escaped with minor injuries, but the Lake Erie Chomper would only attack again, and soon.
Like, oh, it's jaw-shaped. Yep, them bite marks.
He's got some wicked chompers.
He's got teeth.
Oh, but on a serious note, the following morning, a local father took his son for a swim at that very same beach. The two were so savagely attacked that the son needed medical attention. The doctor who examined the boy's injuries ruled out a number of creatures that could not have produced such a bite. A lamprey eel? No. Snapping turtle? No. The hoax of piranhas that people were mentioning at the time? No.
A chomper? Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's a chomper.
According to the doctor, the only creature that could have possibly left such a mark was a bowfin. A bowfin is a prehistoric looking fish, all right? And it's got a large mouth and strongly developed teeth.
All right, I'm looking at this.
Yeah, well, I have a picture of it.
Pulling up a picture of bowfin.
So they are hideous looking. Okay, so there it is. There's a picture of it. And okay. It looks kind of like an eel, you know, so it has that
like
snake.
An eel or even a like a fat catfish or yeah, something.
It has that kind of like snake looking kind of body and it has fins. Yeah. So like it kind of like if you look at it from this angle.
Look at that face. Yeah.
But you can kind of see like the whole snake idea, like a serpent. If a
yeah,
bowfin
it's
were
elongated.
Because, yeah. You know, goldfish grow as big as their tanks allow them to. Mm-hmm. So could a bowfin be the serpent? Possibly. Now, if you look
Look at that one. That one's like 3.5 feet, yeah. 4 feet.
Well, I actually have, and so here are their chompers.
Those are some chompers.
Those are some chompers. So, now when it comes to bowfins, and again, if our listeners are not driving, you can look it up. They can get huge, okay? So, again, they're very prehistoric looking. They are very long. They have huge, large mouths, like a largemouth bass. They have very strong teeth. As I like to joke, they got some scary chompers. They're highly aggressive.
Found in the Great Lakes.
Mm-hmm. And they're nearly insatiable as a predatory species. Yes. In fact, bowfins spend most of their time looking for something to eat.
Chomping
because they're insatiable. Now, bowfin are non-specific predators, meaning they will chomp down on just about anything, including another bowfin. And perhaps even unlucky swimmers, even though humans are way bigger than them.
Chomp.
Now you see, bowfin become particularly hostile when they're protecting their nests, which happens during the weeks following spawning in the summertime. As I mentioned, these attacks happened in the summer.
Mm-hmm.
So Brenda and the local father and son may have just been too close to a nest, and human limbs do look a little like fish swimming in the water. If you're not looking at the whole body, you look at just the arm itself, it can be a smaller bowfin in their minds, mm-hmm. or they're fish. And bowfin prefer deep waters during the day, but at night they move into shallow waters. Brenda went for a sunset dip, and the father and the son were there in the early morning. So it could logically be a bowfin that moved to shallower waters for the night. But bowfins only grow to a max of about 24 inches. Some species more down south can get to 4 feet. But up with us, about 24 inches.
Okay.
So a 2-foot fish cannot possibly be a 40-foot sea monster.
Yeah. Unless. Yeah, I mean, there's...
Unless.
I don't think... Like, they can only get so big. They won't grow and grow and grow forever. You know, like, a shark never gets to the size of a whale. You know, like, they do have a terminal...
That we know of.
They have a terminal length at some point.
Well, I'm gonna look it up. The biggest great white sharks can reach up to 20 feet long.
Yeah. That's up to. Not like infinitely.
But how big, how large?
What's the largest bowfin?
The world record is 34 inches. So, I do you think that there is a Bessie then?
We got a Lake
Erie chomper. We got a chomper.
We got a chomper.
Indisputable. There's a child chompy who was boy. Hurt. Less than 20 years ago, about 20 years ago, sorry, a little child had to go to the hospital because of a chomper attack. So imagine you're at a lake because there aren't sharks and then a bowfin attacks you. What crap luck is that?
I can't imagine something like 40 feet long is swimming around in that place.
So then what is it?
Lies.
But the reverend said...
Yeah. I have a hard time believing sea monster stories. I just do. Especially lake monster stories. Like, sea monsters, they can hide in the ocean because it's gigantic and all that, but lake monsters is a lot harder to believe in.
What are those things your mom used to have in her fish tank? Coolie loaches?
Coolie loaches. We had them, too.
So, like, I believe in sea serpents because we've had loaches.
Yeah. Those and they do, like, burrow down into the ground.
And they do get bigger.
Yeah.
I one time had a dream that our coolie loach, we forgot that it was in the fish tank.
I remember
tank.
This.
And it was so huge.
It was, like, years after our loaches died, too.
Yeah. Well, I think there's... I forget how it goes, but, like, if you dream of your fish tank, there's something about, like, it's something that connects to your life. I don't really read the dream vision stuff, but Laura does. She has books on what dreams mean. And I'm like, my fish tanks are always dirty, and I've always forgotten to feed them. Like, oh, my God, are those fish even still alive? And I look in the fish tank, and it's just all green, and the water's half gone, but the fish are all happy. And I'm like, how are you alive right now? So there I am busily cleaning the fish tank and feeding them. But the one time that the coolie loach was in there...
It's a telepathic cry for help from the fish. Like, we can only communicate while she's sleeping.
But, like, remember, it was so humongous. It was this loach that we forgot existed. It was in the bottom underneath all the rocks. And it was just, like, this huge thing. So, could there be a coolie loach kind of serpent in the in Lake Erie, curled down at the bottom like my fish tank dream? I'm not saying it's a coolie loach, but it's a coolie loach.
Oh, boy.
But where does this leave Bessie? That's my question. It's a mystery. We don't know. Unless we, like, get a big... Like, could you even get a big old net and, like, you know, dredge the waters? If it burrows down the rabbit hole, no. It's gonna hide. You know what I'm saying? I don't know. We'll never be able to answer easily.
Yeah. All right, we need you all to chime in. Lake monsters, where do you stand?
Well, because there were lake
monsters. Where do you swim?
Well, remember we did the crossover with Jenna and Kyle.
For Skinwalker.
Yeah, there were sources of lake monster there.
It was a giant snake, yeah.
Could this be a giant snake?
Again, that's winter, you know? I don't...
Well, snakes hibernate. Rattlesnakes come back every year, and I don't want them to come back, but they come back anyway.
Yeah. But snakes that big are more tropical, you know? Like, they need to keep their body temperature up more.
Unless they go down to the bottom of the lake and they burrow in their little hole. Like a frog.
I mean, maybe. But how do they breathe?
Listen, I don't know. My friend...
Frogs breathe out of their skin, so they're good, you know?
I'm not the scientist. I'm a doctor. I'm not that kind of a doctor. I don't know. But, like, there's so many stories. And, like, I get, like, it's allegorical. But there are so many stories... of, like, men and women going out into the ocean, the Vikings, and they fight these huge sea serpents that are attacking their
boats. Well, every continent has dragon stories, too, but you can't say that dragons are real, as badly as I want them to be.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, they're an archetype for the fighting the natural world, sorry.
Like, every culture has dragon stories, you know? Yeah. Like you said at the beginning of the podcast, like, even the Navajo, or Navajo?
Iroquois.
They have, you know, like, everyone has a dragon story.
Well, this was a snake story, but yeah.
No, one of them, they talked about the water dragon.
Yeah.
Or the dragon head, you know, the dragon-headed serpent. You know, like, the mention of dragon, you know, which implies that dragons, you know, they know dragons.
Yeah. Well, that was a water spirit. But
still dragon.
Onyare actually means, it's the Mohawk word for snake.
Yeah, but it has a dragon
head. Horned like dragon snake. Dragon-like snake.
Yeah, but still dragon.
Fine. You can have your dragon. Because it would breathe both poison and fire.
Yeah, like a dragon.
Why would a water snake breathe fire?
I don't know.
We gotta go talk. If you're an Iroquois and you're listening, we got some questions. Because it's cool.
Yeah.
We gotta talk about Thunderbirds next. If we're gonna go all in for crazy cryptid stuff this year. But anywho, that's all I have for this evening, because I wasn't sure if I'd have time to tell the ghost ships of Lake Erie that I have from Rosemary Guiley. So I will hold off on that. So we did not use Ghost Hunting Pennsylvania at all by Rosemary Ellen Guiley tonight.
Tonight.
Yes. But we'll next week. That'll be part of my mini episode. It'll be a connection. I had never another idea for my mini episode, but we'll do a connection to this because I want to do the Pittsburgh Playhouse. So, anywho, lake monsters, let us know your thoughts, people. Tell me, are they real or not? Do you think that sea serpents could be a thing? Water serpents? Plesiosaurs?
Sea serpents, yeah, sure. Lake serpents, lake monsters.
This is a big lake. I don't know.
I don't know.
There was the man-eater shark. Jaws is based off it. I mean, things happen. Crazy things have happened in this world.
I mean, if we're going to talk about that stuff, we could do one of our midweek episodes on what were they called? The ghosts of, what country was it? It was two male lions that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That lived together.
The nighttime lions.
The movie that was based off of them was called The Ghost in the Darkness. Mm-hmm. And it's surprisingly incredibly accurate.
Yeah, that was horrifying.
Oh, yeah. And because they were smart. They were incredibly smart animals. And a lot of people believe that they were, like, possessed by demons because of how smart they were and how evil they were.
Or they're just really smart lions.
I know. It's the only time the two male lions were ever recorded, like, living together. Like, that's it. They didn't have any females.
And the Jaws shark got a taste for human meat and realized it was much easier to catch humans in the lake or in the river. So it was like, oh, I'm coming back, y'all. Here I am. Doo-doo-doo. So, all right. Anyway. So let us know your thoughts about lake monsters. I think Bessie is real. I think Bessie has a family. I think there's a whole family of snakes out there. Anyway.
Bessie Jr., Bessie Senior.
Oh, no. But no Nessies.
No Nessie.
No, they refuse. That's their cousin. They don't talk about her. She has a weird accent. She wears a funky hat. They don't want to talk to her. Oh, boy. Anyway. Everyone, all my listeners, have a great week. And as always, think spooky thoughts.